All right, so today we're diving deep into the book of Job. And, well, you're going to see some of those familiar characters in a whole new light, especially Job's friends and his wife. We're unpacking a lecture by the biblical scholar John Walton. And his take is really something else.
Yeah. Walton offers some really fascinating insights.
Absolutely.
Especially in how he kind of reframes these figures.
Yeah.
Who are often misunderstood.
Yeah. We're focusing on the very beginning of the book.
Right.
Right after Job has been hit with all that terrible loss.
Right.
His children, his possessions, his health. It's at that moment when his friends show up.
Right. Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is that Walton points out that they aren't just there to offer comfort. Each one actually embodies a different way of thinking about the world and responding to suffering.
So it's not just a group of concerned buddies showing up.
Not exactly.
Interesting.
You see, Eliphaz tends to draw on his personal experience.
Okay.
Bildad represents traditional wisdom and proverbs, while Zophar relies more on systematic reasoning and trying to put everything into neat categories.
Okay, so each bringing their own approach to the situation.
Right.
But how does that make them more than just comforters?
Well, Walton argues that they actually serve as foils to Job, highlighting the limitations of human wisdom in the face of suffering.
Okay.
They actually become, perhaps unwittingly, representatives of the challenger himself.
The challenger's representatives? You've lost me a little bit there.
Remember, the challenger is the one who questioned Job's motives to God, suggesting Job was only righteous because he had a good life.
Right.
The friends, by assuming Job must have done something wrong to deserve this suffering, end up echoing the challenger's perspective.
Ah, I see.
Mm-hmm.
They're essentially pushing that same, if you're suffering, you must have messed up line of thinking.
Yeah.
It's all about retribution, right?
Mm-hmm.
Good things happen to good people.
Right.
And vice versa.
Precisely.
Okay.
And this focus on material loss and the assumption that Job must have messed up somewhere really ties into the challenger's bet. Is Job's righteousness just about the stuff?
Yeah.
Would he remain faithful if he lost it all?
That's a really interesting way to look at it. It's almost as if the friends are unknowingly trying to manipulate Job into proving the challenger, right?
Right.
And this focus on material loss, it's echoed in a surprising way by Job's wife, wouldn't you say?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Her infamous line, curse God and die,
is
often seen as a moment of despair or even cruelty. But Walton suggests she too might be an unwitting agent of the challenger.
I've always found that line from Job's wife fascinating.
Yeah.
And a little unsettling. How could she say that to her husband in the midst of such tragedy?
Well, consider this.
Okay.
She offers a quick solution, a way out of the pain.
Yeah.
Almost as if she's saying, if your righteousness is tied to your good fortune, then just let go of it all, including your life.
Wow.
It's a tempting offer, especially in the midst of such profound suffering.
That's quite a different take on it.
Mm-hmm.
But it makes you wonder about her motivations.
Right.
Is it despair?
Yeah.
Is she manipulating Job?
Yeah.
Is it some kind of tough love?
Excellent questions.
Yeah.
And what's even more interesting is that, unlike other figures in the story,
yeah,
she's not portrayed as a grieving mother who's also suffering.
Okay.
Her role seems to be specifically focused on pushing Job towards a certain action. A certain response to his pain.
It almost makes her a more enigmatic figure, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
And it definitely complicates the picture of who's on whose side in this cosmic drama.
Absolutely. And it brings up some very relevant questions for us today, don't you think?
Yeah.
How often do we see suffering through that same lens of retribution?
Yeah.
Do we assume someone must have done something to deserve their hardship?
That is a really thought-provoking question. It makes you examine your own assumptions about suffering and how we respond to it, both in ourselves and in others. But before we get too deep into that, I think we need to take a closer look at what Job himself is saying in all of this. So we've got these friends pushing this, you reap what you sow, kind of thinking. And even Job's wife seems to be nudging him toward giving up on God.
Yeah.
But where does Job himself stand in all of this? He's obviously not buying what they're selling, right?
Exactly. Job's responses to both his wife and friends are crucial here.
Okay.
He refuses to curse God or admit to any wrongdoing that he doesn't believe he's committed.
So he's standing firm on his integrity.
Yes.
Even when everyone's telling him he must have screwed up somehow, it makes you wonder what's going on inside his head.
Well, Walton emphasizes that this is where we see Job's unwavering faith and his commitment to truth come into play.
Okay.
He's not just blindly obeying.
Yeah.
He's actively wrestling with his experience and his understanding of God.
He doesn't just sit there and passively accept what everyone's throwing at him, though, does he?
Not at all.
Yeah.
He pushes back.
Yeah.
He argues with his friends, challenges their assumptions,
okay,
and pours out his grief and frustration.
Yeah.
What's remarkable is that even in his pain and confusion, he never lets go of his belief in God's justice, even if he can't grasp it in that moment.
I can't imagine being in that position.
Yeah.
Suffering immensely, everyone telling you it's your fault, and yet still clinging to the belief that God is just fault, that takes a lot of strength.
It does. And that's one of the things that makes the book of Job so powerful and enduring.
Yeah.
It grapples with these fundamental questions about suffering, faith, and the very nature of God in a way that continues to resonate with us thousands of years later.
It's not just an ancient story. It's a reflection of the human experience, isn't it? We all wrestle with these questions at some point in our lives.
Absolutely. And Walton points out something really interesting here. He argues that the book of Job isn't just a dialogue between Job and God. It's also a dialogue between Job and his community.
So even though the challenger is this powerful, almost supernatural figure, the real challenge to Job's faith is coming from the people he's closest to.
Exactly.
People who are supposed to be supporting him.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And this raises such a crucial question for us.
Yeah.
How often do we face similar challenges in our own lives?
Mm-hmm.
How do we stay true to our own beliefs when those closest to us question them?
Right.
When our own experiences make us doubt?
That's a heavy question. It makes you think about times when you might have questioned your own faith or felt pressure to conform to a certain way of thinking.
Right.
Especially by people you care about.
It's a very real struggle.
Yeah.
And the book of Job reminds us that faith isn't always easy or straightforward.
Yeah.
Sometimes it means standing firm in our beliefs, even when we don't have all the answers.
Yeah.
Even when those around us urge us to give up.
This conversation has really shifted my perspective on the book of Job. I used to see it as the story about a guy who gets punished for no reason.
Yeah.
But now I see it as a story about resilience, about wrestling with doubt and the complexities of faith, and doing it all within the context of very human relationships.
It is a story of resilience,
mm-hmm.
and it's also a story about the importance of dialogue, even when it's difficult.
Yeah.
Job doesn't just suffer in silence.
Mm-hmm.
He engages with those around him, even when they're wrong. Even when it hurts.
That's a powerful point.
Right.
It's not about avoiding difficult conversations or pretending everything is fine. It's about leaning into those conversations.
Right.
Seeking understanding and holding on to our own truth, even when it's challenged.
Exactly. And, you know, it makes me think about how we often approach conversations about faith and doubt today.
Yeah.
Do we create spaces where those conversations can happen authentically and respectfully?
That's a great question.
Or do we shy away from them, afraid of conflict or judgment?
That's such an important point to consider. Maybe the real lesson of Job isn't just about enduring suffering, but about creating spaces where we can grapple with these big questions together, honestly and openly, without fear of judgment. It feels like Job is fighting a battle on two fronts, you know, wrestling with his own pain and confusion, but also having to defend his faith against these distorted perspectives from the people closest to him.
Yeah, and that resonates with so many of us today, wouldn't you say?
Oh, absolutely.
We live in a world saturated with different voices and opinions.
Right.
It's hard to sift through it all and figure out what we truly believe.
Absolutely. And it becomes even harder when those voices come from people we love and respect. It's one thing to disagree with someone online.
Right.
But when your family or close friends are questioning your core beliefs, that's a whole different ballgame.
It is. And I think that's where Job's story becomes so powerful. He shows us that even when those closest to us doubt us, even in the face of incredible adversity, it's still possible to hold on to our faith and our integrity.
It's like he's being forced to dig deeper, to truly examine the foundation of his faith and understand why he believes what he believes.
Exactly. And that process of questioning and wrestling with doubt is so vital for any kind of growth, especially spiritual growth. It's not always comfortable.
Right.
But it can lead us to a deeper, more authentic understanding of ourselves and our relationship with the divine.
So the book of Job isn't really giving us a simple answer about suffering or a guide on how to comfort people who are going through hard times.
Yeah.
It's more about drawing us into this incredibly profound conversation about faith, doubt, and what it means to be human.
I completely agree. That's what makes this text so timeless and relevant. It speaks to that deep longing within us for meaning and purpose, the parts of us that grapple with pain and uncertainty.
This deep dive has honestly changed how I see the book of Job. I used to think it was a pretty bleak story, but now I see this incredible depth and complexity to it. It's an exploration of faith and the human experience, not just a tale of suffering.
I'm so glad to hear that. I hope it encourages you and everyone listening to keep exploring, to keep asking questions and wrestling with these big ideas. That's how we grow. That's how we learn. And that's how we come to a richer understanding of ourselves and the world.
So to wrap things up, if you're looking for a quick and easy explanation of suffering,
right,
the Book of Job might not be your best bet. But if you're willing to really dive in to grapple with those tough questions and embrace the complexity of faith and the human experience, well, then this book has something truly profound to offer.
And remember, you don't have to go through this journey alone. There are scholars, theologians, and countless others who have been grappling with these same questions for centuries. So keep reading, keep learning, and keep the conversation going.
That's a great note to end on. Keep those conversations going, folks, and happy reading.